When I spoke last time, I really never used the word the uniqueness of Jesus. Jesus is not like any other religious figure. Jesus is the Lord. Muhammad, his last wife, was 8 years old. Did you know that? Yeah, that's true. Muhammad's last wife was 8 years old. Buddha, well, the poor thing, on the night before he died, or on his deathbed, he said, "I still seek the truth." Jesus, on the night before he died, said, "I am the truth." There is a uniqueness in Jesus. You cannot say Jesus is not God, because if you do, then he's a lunatic, or a liar, or a loser. See, he can't be a prophet if he's not God, because he said he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. And he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they wanted to stone him because he said he was God. He used the name of God. So you can't have it both ways. That's only in Burger King, not any place else. You can't have it your way. Jesus is who he said he is, or he is a loser, a lunatic, or a liar. Really. You cannot say, you know, the sloppy agape stuff, "Jesus is a good prophet." Well, I want to tell you, he's none of those things if he's not God. Of course he's a prophet, but he's much more than a prophet. He's the Son of the Eternal Father, begotten of God, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one in being with the Father, through him all things were made. This talk is on Jesus as healer. I will just be reading a little from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. "Without beauty, without majesty, we saw him, no looks to attract our eyes, a thing despised, rejected by men, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, a man to make people hide their faces. He was despised, and we took no account of him. And yet ours were the sufferings he bore, ours were the sorrows he carried. But we thought of him someone punished, struck by God, brought low, afflicted. Yet he was pierced for our sins, crushed for our sins. On him lies the chastisement that brings us peace, and by his wounds we were healed. All we like sheep had gone astray, each one taking his own way. But Yahweh laid upon him the sins of us all. Harshly dealt with, he bore it humbly. He never opened his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughterhouse, like a sheep before its shearers, he did not open his mouth." If you want to understand Jesus as healer and redeemer, you must get the movie that Mel Gibson gave us, that classic, and you just continue to watch it over and over again, because it's by his stripes we were healed. You want to get that into your DNA. You want to get that into your DNA, that by his stripes, by the unmerciful beatings that he received, we were healed. That's what the scripture says. By the stripes on Jesus' back, we were healed. Not only were our sins forgiven, but we were healed. There is healing for the whole person, for the whole man. By his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep hath gone astray, but God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That's why it is so important not only to have a Jesus party, but to continue to watch that service, really, in the presence of God, so that when you pray for the sick, you know why God heals. Because he was beaten unmercifully for our sins and for our healing and for our transgressions. By his stripes, when they whipped him unmercifully, by his stripes we were healed. He took upon himself the sins of the world and the sicknesses of the world. We need to get this into our being by the Holy Spirit, to watch it, so that when we pray for the sick, we see Jesus at the pillar being scourged by those men and being beaten unmercifully. That's why we're healed. It's all about the blood. It's all about the blood. It's all about the blood. The Old Testament was a sacrificial religion. It was the blood of goats and the blood of cows and the blood of bullocks. The New Testament is a sacrificial religion. It is the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ, slain from the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God who died upon the cross out of love for us, that one sacrifice made present at the altar, one sacrifice made present at the altar. His blood is our at-one-ment. His blood is our atonement. His blood is our forgiveness. His blood is our healing. His blood sets us free from sickness. His blood sets us free from death. His blood sets us free from evil spirits. It's all about the blood. And yet it is probably the least talked about experience any place. People are not talking about the blood. They think it's archaic. They think it's old-fashioned. They think it doesn't have meaning. That's why nothing happens, because we are not extolling the passion of Jesus and his precious blood, which brings forgiveness, redemption, healing of the mind, healing of the body, healing of the soul, deliverance from evil. It's in the blood of Jesus. It's all in the blood. And we as a sacramental church have on the altar the blood of the new and eternal covenant. It is the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the new and eternal covenant. It is by this blood that we have been healed. It is the same blood that was shed at Calvary under the form of wine, but it is not wine. It is the blood. It has been transformed by the Holy Spirit into the blood. As we drink this blood, we should be healed. We have the blood of Christ upon our altars, yet we do not see healing, because we are not the people of Habakkuk 2, that the just man lives by faith. We have other denominations that do not have the blood on the altar, and yet they have healing. You want to know why? Because they believe in the efficacy of the blood. They believe in the efficacy of the blood that's on our altars, even though they don't know it. I will even say this, that the blood of the cross and the blood on our altars, the same blood, is what brings healing to those people in the Pentecostal church. But they have faith. They don't know that the blood is on our altar. They have no idea. But yet, that blood was shed for them as well as for us. And if you've got faith and you plug into the power of that blood, you're going to see things happen. It's all about the blood. No healing without the blood. It's a new and everlasting covenant. I just want to go through these scriptural things before I start talking about healing. The way I'm going to talk about healing is to tell you what God's been doing. I don't want to give you a seminar on healing. Who needs it? It's the blood that brings healing. I said it. I'll keep on saying it. I'm not giving you a seminar on how to get healed. It's the blood that brings healing. It's the new and everlasting covenant. We remember what Jeremiah said. You know, Jeremiah, poor bum. We canonized the poor guy after we destroyed him. He said, 31:31, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, our God, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, not like the covenant I made when I led your people through the sea. This is the covenant I will make. I will write my law upon their hearts, and they shall all know God, and I shall forgive their sins." There is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Jesus is our Yom Kippur. Jesus is our at-one-ment. Jesus is our atonement. Jesus' blood, all in his blood, is our healing. New and everlasting covenant promised by Jeremiah. All right? On the night before he died, he took a cup. He said, take and drink. This is the cup of my blood, the new and everlasting covenant. It shall be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. The blood, new and everlasting covenant, promised by Jeremiah. The forgiveness of sins in the blood of Jesus. The writing of the law of God in our hearts. We need to call on the power of that blood. With a new and eternal covenant, there is a new priesthood. The priesthood of Aaron is now no more. You know the Jews, we know that they're people called Kohen. They are Kohanes. Kohen means priest. They have the priestly family. Kohen, Kohen. We are not of the order of Aaron. We are the order of Melchizedek, king of Salem. Abraham met Melchizedek coming out from a war, and he gave him 10% of his booty. You remember that? What was Melchizedek carrying in his hands? Bread and wine. What was the priest Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the priest of the God Most High, what was he going to do with the bread and wine? Sacrifice it. That's what a priest does. No priest without a sacrifice, and no sacrifice without a priest. That's why we're priests, not only pastors. Because a sacrifice takes place on the altar. The one sacrifice of Calvary that brings redemption, healing, forgiveness of sins through the blood. New priesthood, not according to Aaron, but Melchizedek. New promises, much better than the old promises. For the old covenant brought death. You break the law, you die. The new covenant brings life. He who believes in me will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. New promises. The old covenant brought sickness. The new covenant brings health in the blood. Everyone that he touched was healed. You know, St. Augustine had to change his theology. Did you know that? Yeah, he didn't believe in healing. He said that was for the apostolic age. Until at a Holy Saturday vigil service, there were people on pallets that were miraculously healed and the Spirit of God came upon them. He had to change his theology. Isn't that wonderful when God puts our faith in our narrow-minded theology? All of us. When we say, oh, that can't happen, it doesn't happen, and then it happens. Hallelujah! It just shows you God's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? New promises. Not death, but life. Not sadness, but joy. Not despair, but hope. A new priesthood, according to the order of Melchizedek. The blood of Jesus speaks more eloquently than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel, after he was killed by Cain, was calling out for vengeance. The blood of Jesus calls out, mercy! The blood has been sprinkled on the mercy seat. Mercy. It's all about the blood. So healing is in the blood. We need to tap into the power of the blood. Oh, there's power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there's power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. It's all about the blood. 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 What God did not require of Abraham, which was the blood of Isaac, he required of his son, so that we might be free. By his blood we have been healed. By his blood we have been justified. By his blood we have been forgiven. by his stripes. That's why we've got to get Mel Gibson's movie into our heads, into our hearts by grace, so that when we pray for the sick, we know, oh, Lord, I stand before the blood, and in this blood there's healing. That's nothing to do with me, everything to do with the blood. Oh, I know some people are taking this in. I know most of you aren't. But I know I see a couple. I don't know who you are, but I know a couple. Lord's telling me a couple. Oh, I can look and see the blood. It's in this blood that healing takes place. It doesn't rely on my faith. It relies on the blood. And I just will step out into the blood and appropriate it by God's grace. See, I want to get the attention off of my faith. I have faith to call on the power of the blood. Do you hear me? All right. That just lays kind of the framework of what I want to talk about healing. And I talk about healing, I'm going to talk about all the healings that have taken place in the power of the blood. Oh, glory. So I'm going to start by talking about what happened in March. In March, we went to Florida. Father Martin and I, we got there late. I won't go through the whole story. We were supposed to get there at a time at 2. We left at 2. We read the itinerary. We were wrong. When we got there, we were speeding, and we got there, but everybody had left but about 40 people. I understand it was a full church. But you know what? You do the best you can. So I have 40 people, I'm going to preach as if I've got 5,000. Because I don't know who's out there. And I don't know what they need. And so I'm going to preach as if I'm preaching to the multitudes. Because in reality, I preach only to one at a time. I preach to the person who wants to listen. When I preach on the radio, I don't preach to multitudes. I preach to you or to whoever wants to listen. That's the secret of radio. I'm not preaching to the people in radio land. I'm preaching to the person who's been riveted by the Holy Ghost today to snap me on. Anyway, we finally got there and I begin to preach and preach and preach and preach until I can't preach anymore. And then we start singing and praising the Lord. We start singing in tongues. There are only about 40 of us. And we form a circle. There weren't even 40 of us. And I feel the Lord's healing somebody's legs. So somebody's legs, whose legs are being healed? So this lady raises her hand, and she has neuropathy in her legs because she has diabetes. So I get on my knees, and I start praying with her for her legs. And then I start pinching her legs. Now, don't tell the bishop. With all the craziness that's been going on, you know. And as I pinch her legs, she can feel it. She says, ouch! Oh, I said, hallelujah! She said, I could never feel that before. I said, then we're going to take a walk. She says, I can't walk. I said, oh, yes, you can. If you can feel your legs, you can walk. So we start walking. We started to walk. I take her by the arm. Finally, I let her go. She's walking. Well, I thought that was the big miracle, but I had no idea what God was doing. Also, what happened is that the next day she was given something to eat, like a salad with onions by her hostess. And she couldn't eat that stuff because she had neuropathy of the esophagus, too. And she'd be deathly sick. She ate it, and there was nothing wrong. I also didn't know that she was ready to die because she had a 5-inch tumor on her liver and she had lesions in her pancreas. And she told her doctor she was going to see Dr. J, Dr. Jesus. He said, don't go to Philadelphia. She said, I'm not. He said, good, I'm going to Florida. He said, you'll die in Florida. She said, well, at least I'll die with people who love me and who worship God. The 5-inch tumor on her liver was taken away. The lesions were taken away. The lesions were gone too. The Lord's healing someone right now in this area. It might be your liver. I'm talking about liver. Right now, the Lord's healing someone. I'm saying it's my left side, but usually I do the opposite. If it's my left side, it's your right side. But I can never tell with the Lord, left or right. I haven't got that keen yet. But someone's being healed right this moment. I can feel the pain. Just take it right now, because I don't need this pain, in Jesus' name. Just take it if it's you. To say, I take it, then shut up and listen to me. Amen. So the next thing, she comes to our services all the way from New Jersey or wherever she lives, and she's blind in one eye. And I say to her, that's next, Marianne. And indeed, it was next. The Lord healed her of her eye. She goes around now. This is recent. It's only since March. She goes around now. She's giving her testimony to people and praying. She's got a ministry herself now. She's praying with the people now. You know, that's the way it works. The Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord. How do you thank the Lord? By living, the sun and the trees and the apple seeds. You go plant seeds for Jesus. The Lord is good to me. Now, this woman has had a lot of trouble. She's buried four of her children. I won't even go into how they died. One drowned, one in the service, one in a car accident, another in a fire. So she doesn't have the life of Riley. But I'm telling you, she's a new woman. I call her Lazarina. She's the woman counterpart to Lazarus. We were doing a retreat in February at the Espousal Retreat House. I don't even remember when it was. I think it was February. And the Lord was healing ears. He was healing ears that night. And as he was healing ears, I called the people up who had ear problems. And so they came up. And this lady at the end said, I have two hearing aids. So I said, take them out. And so she took them out. And I prayed over one ear, it opened up. I prayed over the other ear, it opened up. She looks at me and says, what am I going to do with these $4,000 hearing aids? I said, use them as relics. For 2 months in a Christian bookstore, she was praying with people to be healed of ear problems, deafness. Three of them got healed. I met one of them last night at the wedding I was at. He said, I had it for 2 months, but I let the cares of the world creep in, and I lost it. He knows he lost it. You can give up a healing. You can lose something. I need to call him up and pray over the phone for him. Anyway, I said I was going to pray last night, but I just wanted to get out of that place. I'm so tired of receptions. You know. Anyway, that's another story. So she used them as relics. People come into her place. She says, can I pray with you? You're deaf. Yes. Kiss my relics. I was only kidding. But you know what? They become a symbol that once I was deaf and now I hear. I don't understand how God works, but it's always through the blood. It's always through the blood. Last Mardi Gras, the day before Ash Wednesday. I had no right to be doing a healing service on the day before Ash Wednesday. You know, on Ash Wednesday, they all come out. It's like it's all for real. Why people want to put black marks on their head makes no sense to me. Like, I don't know what it means unless it means we're starting a time of penance. That's all it means. Not parading around with a black mark on your head. But the people are there, so you preach to them. Hopefully somebody will hear. And if not, we'll just have to wait till next Ash Wednesday, because that's when they're coming back. But you still preach, believing God's going to touch somebody. Well, on Ash Tuesday, which was Mardi Gras, I'm by the Blessed Sacrament. We're doing this healing service, Father Martin and I, and this lady comes up to me and says, I hate to bother you. That's what they all say. I hate to bother you. And then they continue to say, would you? Of course I will. She had this beautiful little baby. I didn't know anything about this baby. She was an infant. And I took the baby in my arms, and I held her in my arms, and I rocked her, and I sang. And with that, I said, what's wrong with her bladder. Look, I don't know a bladder from a, you know, but something jumped in her. And I knew it was her bladder. She said, oh, she says, baby Grace is about to have a serious operation on her bladder. She has leakage. She gets infections. Everything's out of its sockets. Things aren't supposed to be what they are. And she's just been destroyed with this sickness. And it's a 3.5-hour operation, and it's very rare. So I pray with the little baby, give her back to the mother. The mother says, oh, Father Tom was in deep prayer. I think I was sleeping, to tell you the truth. But that's okay, you know. It's all right to sleep in the presence of the Lord. You do the best you can. See, I don't have to pretend to be holy. There's only one holy one, you know. I just need to do what God's calling me to do at the time. So I give her back to the mother, and we have our Mass, and after the Mass, we have the healing service. After the healing service, I see this woman leave with this baby. I didn't know it was the same woman. As a matter of fact, a woman the other day told me the same story that I say. It's not even the same story the mother says, but it's the perfect story that matches mine. I see this woman leaving with the baby. I said, come back with the baby. I didn't know it was the same woman and the same baby. She comes back. I said, what's wrong with the baby? And I had her in my arms again. I had no idea what it was this time. She said, baby Grace has a bladder problem. She has a leakage. She went through the whole story. It was all new material to me. I never heard it before. But I did. But I didn't. So I rock the baby, and I sing, and I say, don't cut this baby. This baby's been healed. Then I see dollar signs on the mother's head. I said, you need another CAT scan. I don't care how much it costs. Thank God they had been praying and praying and praying. She went to her mother. Her mother said, you owe this to the baby. So what happens? I'll tell you tomorrow. God bless you.